Chapter 10. I hate him! I hate him! Danny yelled, spit flying from his mouth. He crumpled Dad's note and stormed to his bedroom before racing off to Mario's. I told you he don't care about us! Vicky was too devastated to stop him. She sat on the couch holding her grandmother's cross, trying not to cry. When Mom came home, she glared at the letter in silence for several minutes, her eyes glistening. How could he just walk out on us? How could he just leave us like this? She asked over and over again. Her sad voice was like a knife in Vicky's chest. She wished she could just hold her ears and block out the sound. Abuelo tried to comfort them, rubbing Mom's back and telling them everything was going to be okay. But Vicky couldn't see how. Everything was coming apart, and Dad's words haunted her. I lost it all. They're taking our house. What did that mean? Danny came back a few hours later and went straight to his room, slamming the door behind him. At dinner, Vicky knocked, but he refused to open it. Leave me alone, he said. I don't want to talk to anyone. She could hear an occasional thud as something knocked against the wall. What about dinner? Asked Vicky. She turned the knob and it was locked. I ate already. Just go away. Why are you being this way? It's me, Vicky pleaded. I don't care. Mom joined her in the hallway. Danny, open this door now, she yelled. What are you going to do if I don't? Danny challenged. You can't do nothing. Don't talk that way to your mother, Abuelo yelled then, his scratchy voice suddenly deep. Now open this door before we break it down. The hallway was silent. Vicky knew her brother was surprised at Abuelo's response. So was she. After several seconds, the knob clicked. Danny opened the door. His eyes were swollen and wet. A bruise-colored smudge covered one cheek. He looked sad and alone, like a child, Vicky thought. He turned and walked away. You okay, Danny? Abuelo asked, moving his walker closer. Mom rushed in and Vicky followed her. The windows were open, but the room stank of paint. On the floor were torn photos of Dad, including the one Abuelo had just given him when he and Dad were at the beach together. On the wall above Danny's bed was a freshly painted image of a time bomb. Its fuse was lit. Drops of extra paint spilled like tears down the wall. Vicky's jaw dropped. Danny! Mom gasped. Danny slumped on his bed. Why did he leave us, Mom? He said as tears rolled down his cheeks. Why did he go? Vicky felt her own eyes grow misty. She sat down on the bed next to her brother. For the first time in what seemed like ages, Mom hugged them both. We'll get through this, she said. Somehow, we'll get through it. It was past midnight when Vicky finally collapsed on the sofa. It seemed as if she had just fallen asleep when she felt someone tug her arm. Come on, get up, Vicky. I need you today. It was Mom. Outside, a dim, ghostly light bled through the window. What time is it? Vicky asked. It's early, Mom explained, but I'm calling out sick and going to the bank first thing to try and sort out this mess. I need you to stay home with Abuelo in case someone from the bank comes to the house. I'll get the school to send your homework. Make sure Danny gets to school on time. I don't want him missing school, too, Mom ordered, her voice tense. Vicky nodded, sliding off the sofa and turning on the light. Mom's bloodshot eyes looked like two cracked windows. Vicky knew she hadn't slept at all. Yet there was something new in her face, a grim determination. It was as if she wouldn't let herself be hurt, not while her family needed her, not while Dad's mess threatened them. What's gonna happen, Mom? Vicky asked. Are we gonna lose our house? Vicky couldn't hold back the questions that had been haunting her since she read Dad's letter. I don't know, she said, rubbing her temples. Your father always took care of this. I never paid any attention to it, she admitted. A spark of anger flashed on her face. But I have a friend at the bank. Maybe she can help us. That's why I have to go. Vicky nodded as Mom walked down the dark hallway. The knock came just after lunch. Vicky looked out the door and saw a police car. Next to it was a silver truck. Three men stood just behind the officer at the front door. Vicky opened it nervously. She heard Abuelo moving his walker behind her. "Is Michael Fallon home?" the officer said. Vicky paused. "He's not here," she replied, eyeing the men. "I don't know when he'll be back." "Are there any adults here?" "Yes, my grandfather," Vicky said. "But he doesn't speak English so well." "My mother will be back soon," she added. The officer took a deep breath, as if what he had to say was difficult. He then looked past Vicky toward her grandfather. "Sir, we're here under an order from the court. This home was issued an eviction notice over 2 weeks ago. You had until yesterday to move out."
"Huh? What are you saying?" Vicky asked. "We never got any notice."
"You did, miss. It was signed for by Michael Fallon. I'm sorry, but your family must be out of this house by the end of the day today. All your belongings must be moved out, too."
"You can't do that. Where are we going to go?"
"I'm sorry, but I must ask you to step out of the way."
"This is my daughter's home. What are you doing?"
Abuelo asked in broken English.
"I'm sorry, sir, but a judge ordered this decision," the officer explained. "There's nothing we can do." He then turned to the men. "Do what you need to do."
"Wait!"
Vicky protested, but the men ignored her, stepping into the living room. None of them even looked at her. It was as if they didn't want to see her face.
"Dad, where are you?"
Vicky thought to herself. She looked outside in hopes that he would pull up, chase the men out, and tell them it was all a big misunderstanding. But he wasn't there. Only a gray truck and the police car were outside.
"Dad, please!"
A second later, one of the men walked by carrying the nightstand from her parents' bedroom. Two other men grabbed the kitchen table and moved it outside. The officer watched as they worked.
"I think you're all making a mistake. My mother went to the bank today to try to straighten this out. Can't you just come back later, after..."
"Excuse me, miss," interrupted one of the workmen. He was carrying one of their kitchen chairs. He looked uncomfortable, as if he wished he didn't have to be there either. "All I know is my office received orders from the court to remove your family from the premises by 5 p.m. today," the officer said with a sigh. He stepped aside to allow two moving men to carry Danny's bed frame out of the house.
"I'm sorry, I really am," he added. "But this house now belongs to Pacific View Bank. Your family is being evicted."
"No!"
Vicky felt as though someone had kicked her in the face. Her eyes blurred with anger. She could barely see and hardly breathe. The whole world seemed to spin for a long, dizzying second.
"No!"
Abuelo's voice brought her back to herself.
"Vicky!"
He was standing at the edge of her bedroom as if he was guarding it. He gestured for her to come to him.
"I'm sorry, Abuelo. I don't know what to do. We have no phone. I can't even call Mom."
"Listen, niña, I have money," he said in Spanish. "I can help. Your grandmother and me, we saved for you and Danny."
"Excuse me, but I'm gonna have to ask for you to move. This room must be cleared," insisted the officer.
The two workmen stepped around them, grabbed her mattress, and hoisted it out. Underneath were the suitcases that her grandfather had brought last week.
"These things are mine," Abuelo said, waving his hand. "Don't take them."
"Sir, everything must go outside. We can put them in the truck and store them for you for a fee, or you can take them, but for now, they're going outside."
"Why'd you do this? This is America," We are good people, he huffed. There are children here, my grandchildren. You're taking their home away.
The officer ignored his questions. Sir, please step outside, he said.
Young man, I'm almost 80 years old. I never see nothing like this.
Abuelo complained half in Spanish, half in English. The officer shook his head. Vicky knew he didn't understand.
Grab that small shoebox, niña,
Abuelo said in Spanish, nodding toward one of the boxes she had seen the day he moved in. It has your grandmother's pictures. Vicky grabbed for the box and gently led him toward the door. She nearly stumbled at what she saw. Their belongings were strewn in awkward piles in their front yard. The kitchen table, the place where all their family discussions and memories happened over the years, now sat in the middle of their brown lawn. Next to it sat an end table, a stool, and their kitchen chairs, arranged in a straight row. Lights, pillows, blankets were stacked atop each chair. Even their flat-screen TV, which Dad bought a year before he lost his job, sat on the cement walkway like a piece of junk. Cars passed by on the street. People eyed the police cruiser and the growing pile of items on the lawn. Vicky was sure everyone knew what was happening. She had heard of folks being evicted before. She knew if they weren't careful, people would steal their stuff. Minute by minute, the pile grew. Even Mom and Dad's mattress now lay on its side in the driveway, like a dead animal. Vicky sank onto the sofa, covering her face with her hands. She wanted to cry, but there were no tears left. Everything inside felt hollow and numb, as if all of her feelings had been sucked out by a giant vacuum. At the sound of the engine, Vicky lifted her head. Her mother's car rounded the corner and skidded to a stop. Seeing her, Vicky felt a wave of relief. Maybe Mom could stop what was happening. Maybe she could tell them it was all a big misunderstanding. But as Mom got out of the car slowly, Vicky could see the resignation in her eyes. She looked as if she was watching her whole life burn down and was powerless to stop it. I tried, she said, rushing right to Vicky. I talked to everyone I could, but it was too late. Just like your father wrote. Her voice sounded raw and exhausted, and her face was worn with the same blank defeat Vicky felt inside. All these months, I thought we were paying the mortgage, she muttered. I was paying only half of it. It would have taken $20,000 to stop this. $20,000! No one I know has that kind of money. I just wish your father would have told me. I wish we'd had some warning. Look, Vicky interrupted. A small form loped up the street toward the house. Vicky recognized it instantly. Danny. He was moving quickly until he saw the furniture in the yard. Then he stopped and gasped in disbelief. What's happening? He shouted, running toward them. What are they doing? Mom grabbed him by the strap of his backpack to keep him from running into the house. Danny, Danny, listen to me. They're taking all our stuff. He struggled hard, yanking himself free. We can't just stand here and let them. For now, we have to, Mom said, trying to sound calm, even though she knew exactly how he felt. Listen to me, she insisted, explaining everything that happened at the bank. I hate him, Danny hissed when she finished. I hate him! His eyes strayed away from her face, and Vicky turned to see the movers tossing a box of Danny's comic books onto the lawn. Hey! Danny shrieked, lunging toward them again. Hey, that's mine! That's my stuff! He raced across the lawn, gathering the box. I talked to him, Abuelo rose unsteadily, leaning heavily on his walker. Remember what I tell you? Abuelo? Her grandfather waved her away and moved slowly across the lawn toward her brother. Mom leaned forward into Vicky, putting her arm on her shoulder. The ruins of their home scattered all around them,
Vicky grabbed her cross and prayed. "Please, Dad," she thought. "Just come home and make everything right. Please."
The movers came out of the house empty-handed. The officers signed some paperwork, and they climbed into their truck and drove off. Moments later, a locksmith arrived. Vicky watched in silence as he locked her family out of their house forever. "I'm sorry, folks," the officer said finally. "You have 24 hours to get this stuff off the property, or you'll be fined. Of course, if you leave it out on the curb, people might take it for you," he said, shrugging his shoulders. "Good luck," he added, sounding sincere as he rushed to his car. Within seconds, he was gone.
"What do we do now?" Danny asked.
No one answered. Mom shook her head wearily.
"What about our stuff?"
Vicky's skull pounded and throbbed.
"Where are we going to go?"
"I don't know, Danny. Just give me a chance to think." Mom collapsed on a chair, and Vicky heard a car slowing to look at their yard strewn with belongings.
"Mom, there are apartments at Hillside Manor," Vicky said, remembering the vacancy sign she had seen the other day.
Danny looked up at her. "That's where his best friend Mario lived. Martin, too."
"We don't have enough money for a deposit," Mom replied.
"Your dad should have told me. Why didn't he tell me?" Her voice trailed off.
"Yes, we do," Abuelo said. "We have money."
"What are you talking about, Papi?"
Abuelo moved slowly and deliberately toward Vicky's mother. When he was close enough to touch her, he reached under his arm and pulled out the shoebox he'd gathered earlier.
"Here."
"What's this?"
"Dinero.
$3,000.
I offered it to Michael when I first came. He told me to keep it for you and the kids. I think he knew what was going to happen," Abuelo explained.
"But this was for your medicine, Papi."
"No.
Your mother and I save it for an emergency. Now, you take.
Get my grandchildren a home. Please, don't refuse."
He repeated the words in Spanish. "For Vicky and Danny. Take it. Let me do this."
Mom looked into the box at the wad of bills inside. A war of emotions flashed across her face. Vicky knew her mother would normally refuse Abuelo's money, but now everything was different. Mom sighed and nodded her head. She looked pained.
"Thank you, Papi," she said in Spanish. "I'll pay you back somehow.
Danny, come with me. We might need Mario's mother as a reference," she said, putting her arm around his shoulder. Danny said nothing. He wandered to the car in a daze, as if the time bomb he had spray-painted had blown up inside him. As the car pulled away, Vicky sat next to her grandfather and looked at the shambles of her life. A stack of her clothing lay in a heap on the ground. In another little pile were some of the boxes she and Danny had unpacked just days ago. Vicky grabbed a few of them and began piling things into them. Clothes and shoes, dishes and cleaning supplies, towels and sheets. She kept moving, anything to push out the gaping emptiness in her chest.
"Someone's coming," Abuelo said.
Vicky looked up, recognizing a familiar face walking down her block like a mirage.
"Martin."
His mouth hung open in complete surprise. Seeing him, Vicky felt a wave of emotion flood through her. It was all just too much.
"Who's that?" Abuelo said.
"A friend," Vicky replied. Before she could say another word, Martin was at her side. He seemed to read her face. She felt his arms, strong and warm, wrap around her. She lowered her eyes into his chest and listened to his heart pounding. No matter what, she knew that he had come for her. Despite everything that happened, there he was. She drank in his embrace and felt her tears fall.
"I'm so sorry, Vicky," he said. "Teresa told me about your dad. That girl really has your back. I'm sorry I got everything so wrong. I didn't know you were dealing with all this."
She couldn't speak,
The wound in her chest was raw and open, too big for words. A wound so vast, nothing would ever wipe it away completely. But in that moment, Martin was with her. Finally, she wasn't alone. "Listen," he insisted. "You stood with me when I needed you most. No one's ever done that for me. I'll stand with you too. You hear me?" he said, touching her face. "Even if you wanted to get back with Steve, you're still going to have me as a friend. You understand?" Vicky nodded and put her hands along the muscles of his back, pushing her face into the space under his chin. "I don't want Steve," she said, turning her face up to his. He kissed her then, and she closed her eyes. And for a second, nothing existed except the warmth of his touch. Just then, Vicky heard a familiar cough. Her grandfather's. He was behind them. Vicky gently pulled away.
"Shouldn't you introduce us?" Abuelo said in Spanish.
Martin looked up in embarrassment. Vicky knew he understood.
"Yes, Abuelo," she said, smiling for the first time in days.
"This is my friend, Martin Luna." Mom came back, followed by a small white pickup truck. Mario and Danny were inside. Felix was behind the wheel. Danny still seemed dazed, but Vicky was glad he had his friends. People who knew and cared for him. He wasn't alone either.
"We got a place 3 doors down from Mario," Mom announced as she got out of the car.
Vicky could see that she was trying her best to sound cheerful, though her eyes were red and her face blotchy. Vicky was sure she had been crying as she drove the car back alone.
"It's small, 3 little bedrooms and 1 bathroom, but we can afford it," she said.
Martin studied Mario's face.
"He's my neighbor. That means..."
"I'm your neighbor too," Vicky added. Martin tried to hide a smile.
"You know what this means, don't you?"
Vicky shrugged.
"Your whole family is going to have to come over to our place for dinner."
Vicky winced at the words. Maybe they would go to Martin's one day, but it wouldn't be their whole family. Not with Dad gone. She still couldn't believe what he had done, that he'd walked out, that he'd lied to them, that he wasn't coming back. Just thinking about it brought tears to her eyes. She glanced back at the ruins of her family's home, its doors locked, its memories scattered in boxes and bags on the front lawn.
"You okay?" Martin said, looking at her.
Vicky nodded, pushing the tears back. Work needed to be done. The truck needed to be loaded. They needed to move.
"Martin, come here," Abuelo said.
Martin rushed to join him. Vicky watched as her grandfather introduced him to Mom and Danny. They shook hands, and then Martin met Mario and Felix, who were getting ready to load the truck. Vicky almost couldn't believe it. She touched her grandmother's necklace as she watched them. Something new was happening. Something she had never imagined. Though it was laced with sadness and pain, there was something else there too. Friends. Family. A future. Vicky took a deep breath, turned away from the empty house, and joined everyone. They had work to do.
This has been a Townsend Press production from the Bluford series of books. Breaking Point, written by Karen Langhorne Fallen and Paul Langan, read by Shahira Morel. This book was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Winnington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.